Welcome to the NFL Legends Podcast. I'm Aeneas Williams, talking about cupcakes. That's right, I said cupcakes, and the cupcake business, and how lasting bonds can create great business partners. Let's listen in. So we got a rack pole, the head decorator. We got Griff, the head baker. And then a third partner, is it Brian Henson? Correct. Is that the correct pronunciation?
That's correct, Brian Henson.
And all of you guys went to UT together?
Correct.
Is that correct?
Yeah, we all went to school together.
So when y'all were in the dorms, were you guys already baking stuff?
Oh.
I mean, was this already?
No, you know what? I think Rack tells it best, but I mean, we were all sitting around one day. It was towards the end of my career. We were talking about entrepreneurship. You know, being in the lead, we know that the NFL does offer the opportunity to business school and the coaching and things of that nature. But the crazy thing is, we were never hands-on when you go talk about business. You can go to business school, but being more hands-on was the most important thing. It was a small investment. You know, we were very successful in the National Football League. It was a small investment, but the main thing was just learn the business and the business adventure and be hands-on. And I think the most important thing we got out of it was, as football players, being successful, it's not easy. You know, it's that 1% of being able to make it to the National Football League. And we understood that. And with this business, we didn't want to fail. And I think that's what helped all three of us. And let alone, you don't want to let your teammates down, let alone you don't want to let down your friends. So that was the most important thing, is that you see a lot of guys that get in the National Football League that starts businesses and things with family members and things of that nature. But, you know, we all invested our hard-earned money into it. And from there, we weren't going to let this fail. And we look at our cupcake shop as our baby and our pride and our joy. And, you know, that's just one thing that we take so much pride into this business. And we, at all costs, make sure we are successful as we were on the National Football League.
Hey, Brian. What's the biggest difference? When did you gain the biggest amount of fans, from playing football or after that commercial?
Man, I didn't realize that commercial was going to put us in another stratosphere, honestly. You know, I'm a pretty confident guy. I felt like, you know, we're some pretty well-known football players for our time. But, man, that commercial, I have elderly people coming up to me. You know, I'm thinking they're getting ready for an autograph. They want to, you know, they call me the cupcake guy. You know, hey, you guys are the cupcake guys, man. I love your commercial and things of that nature. Mind you, I'm still playing. They don't even care about what I did on Sunday. They want to, you know, they want to talk about how did we get started in the cupcake business. So, yeah, it's a whole nother ball game. It's a whole different fan base. And, man, it's a blessing, because we literally just wanted to be entrepreneurs and have this one be one of our babies and grow to do other things. But it's really taken a mind of its own, for sure.
So, hold on, Brian. You guys started this business. You're still playing, sound like. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So
Griff was just finishing up. Go ahead.
Yeah, but here's my question. All right, you know, after the commercial, the cupcake guy, how did your defensive teammates handle that? Calling you cupcake?
Look, hey, that's why you know this better than anybody. You got well respected.
Right.
You know, I couldn't be a guy that's just on the fence and doing cupcakes and playing at the same time. So I kind of got a little leeway just being who I am. Once the guys did their little jokes here and there, then I showed them the spreadsheet, and then they're like, okay,
all right.
Yeah,
all right.
Now I see what you're doing. And then it's something to brag about. It's just not really brag about, but it's something to really be proud of, because, you know, you're building an empire outside of just the football field, you know, and that's something that we really wanted to take initiative of, was doing something outside of the football field. So, yeah, we're definitely proud of it. Definitely got a little heat, you know, but but it was all good until, you know, they really seen the business side of it.
All right, Michael, man, you the ferocious safety. Have you had an opponent when you were still playing, once they saw the commercial, any opponent call you cupcake?
You know what? It was
on the field?
It was all fun and games until, you know, you talk about how much you got paid for the commercial, and then they realize how successful you are. And I think I think the funniest thing is when you say, you know, you got that name on the back of your jersey and you're associated with a team. But you get associated with as a cupcake guy, or whatever. And I think Rack can attest to this. I mean, the day before the Super Bowl, we were in New York. We had this film, a Good Morning America show. And we were standing outside of a nightclub, and they were looking. This was before Corona and everything. And they were like looking at us. And I remember the bouncer walked up to us and said, "Hey," we're like, "Oh man, what we do?" They're like, "Are y'all those cupcake guys?" And it was like, y'all come on in. Y'all come on in.
And y'all then, good. Drink some.
And then to piggyback that, we go to L.A. and we standing outside this nightclub in L.A. and we were down there, you know, doing some business. And again, the bouncer guy, I guess he was the host or whatever, the party, whatever, he comes up to me and he walks and says, "Hey, you look familiar." And I was like, "Man, I'm not even from here." And he's like, "Nah, like I seen you somewhere before." I was like, "Man, I'm not from here. I'm from Texas." He goes, "Hold on, wait, y'all them cupcake guys? Cause the other big dude looked a little familiar. Like y'all them cupcake guy." And then he starts doing like the knee clap thing and everything else. I'm like, "Hey, just, you know, calm down a little bit." And he's like, "Man, y'all come on in, man. Y'all fat." And this is amazing. You know, walking on the plane and stuff. No, you play a barbaric sport, but everybody now, you know, puts that face and they're like, "Hey, those are the cupcake guys." Like, and it's a cool story. I mean, kids and, you know, we used to hold birthday parties and things. And it was amazing just to see that, you know, people look at us like, you know, you can be whatever you want to be. It doesn't necessarily have to be a football player, or be like a superhero, but you could do something that people do every day and it can be just as positive.
So you have an upcoming special on the Food Network. Saturday, February 6th, 1 p.m. Eastern on Food Network, streaming on Discovery Plus beginning February 6th. Tell me about it. What can viewers expect?
Man, it's going to see ourselves, you know, us being ourselves. You know, we've been through a lot. We tasted a lot of cupcakes, a lot of sweets and things of that nature. And it's a baking competition. If you know Austin, you know that we're known for the food trucks. And with that being said, you know, you got to have something that's going to, you know, drive people to your business. We're just judging it. We know we have a few contestants that, you know, have that family recipe that's probably been in the family for years. And now they want to make a business of it because they strongly believe in it. And we're just showing them the ins and outs of how to run a business. I mean, we started from the ground up and we worked our way into a brick and mortar, and you know, they're trying to do the same thing, have a food truck and possibly become big enough to have a brick and mortar. So it's just a sweets type of baking competition that can you get it done inside the baking truck, but at the same time, can you, you know, sell it to the public? And again, you know, it gotta be worth the while. You know, you can't charge a lot of money for something that doesn't taste so good, or vice versa. You can't charge too less. You gotta make a profit. So it's just understanding the business aspect of running a business through a food truck.
What did you find most, Brian, challenging about making a TV show? What's TV been the most challenging? Yes.
Maybe, you know, I think us as professional athletes, I think we always constantly on the go, and, you know, we're just moving and things of that nature, you know, with shows and commercials. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a 30-minute show or hour, whatever it can be. You know, the commercial may be 30 seconds, but it takes a week or it takes a bunch of different cuts, and you know, it's a bunch of breaks when we just want to go and knock stuff out. But it's a lot of, you know, cutting the film up. It's a lot of stuff behind the scenes that we just had to get used to. And that's probably the most challenging for me, at least, just sitting around when we could be just knocking stuff out.
I think the most—
What did you have to work on? Yeah, I'm sorry, go on, Mike.
I was about to say, I think the most challenging for him was he had to jump right off a flight from London, go straight into film.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
I think that
How long did that commercial take? How long did it take, by the way?
I think it was like two, three days?
About 4 days.
Are you serious?
He landed at 7 o'clock that morning. We was trying to find an outfit for him to wear. And then it was all day that day. Then we went to another scene. Then we went to another scene. Then he had to jump on a plane and shoot straight back to Nashville. So I think that might have been the most challenging for him.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, Griff hit a good point. Yeah, it was during the bye week. So
are you serious?
I don't got that much. Right. I don't got that much rest. So, you know, we're trying to knock stuff out.
Let's spend a few moments talking about the time in the business. How did you and your partner decide on this particular business? How did you guys decide this one? Why cupcakes?
Yeah, well, I think Griff alluded to it earlier. We always been just we always hang out. Everybody, all the boys, we live in Austin. That's our that's our spot. I mean, all the boys in the league that are Texans, we live in Austin. There's not one guy that is not lives out here. So we all hang out. Me, Griff, and Brian, our other partner, hang out majority of the time. Mm-hmm. And every single year, we always, every offseason, we always eat dinner, hanging out like with the boys, and we always talking about different businesses and different things that we want to do. We definitely wanted to be entrepreneurs. You know, we've been structured our whole lives with football, and we wanted to kind of step outside the box and start, you know, leading the charge ourselves. And with me coming to Nashville, I was able to get introduced to GG's Cupcakes, and obviously they're originated in Nashville. Griff was still playing in Nashville. That was kind of the blessing in disguise because they were obviously huge fans, being Titan fans. So we just decided one offseason, like, hey, let's do a cupcake shop. I know I know it's out of the box, but it's a low risk, high reward. You know, we know GG's Cupcakes has it moved out, haven't located, they don't have any locations in Austin. Let's bring it out to Austin and see what happens. The guys loved it. And we ran with it. We started making our own phone calls. We didn't have assistants or nothing. We were literally doing everything ourselves, trying to put it together. Long story short, I mean, we found some dirt in one of the centers. We loved the area. We loved the spot, put in some calls, and we got the thing rolling from ground up. And here we are today.
Now, what made you decide between, as entrepreneurs, a franchise or doing your own thing? What were the factors in deciding that?
Well, when you look at doing your own thing, you know, again, stepping outside the box with a franchise, they already got a platform and they already have pretty much the X's and O's and how to do everything. So I think if we were to do it again or when we branch out to do other things, though, we know how businesses operate. We know the X, we know the whole game plan now. And with the franchise, you know, they already had every, you kind of knew how they did things. And it's just learning. And that was the best way. You know, it was just apply something that's already been done, that's already been successful. And GG's was already successful, especially in Nashville. So we went with the franchises because they already had everything in works. So we just knew that we just had to follow those guidelines. But it's funny, as we were doing it and as we was watching, again, like you said, it was just clearly just dirt. As we watched them build our shop from the ground up, it's like, okay, we, you know, I can actually build a building right now. It's funny now because, I mean, we're building a house and, you know, just talking to them and they're saying X's and O's. And I'm like, no, I've been done this before. Like, I know how the plumbing, I know how this works. I know how this works. I know how you bid this, you bid that. So all those things now just, you know, you can apply that going forward. So I think when you go to business school, these are the things you don't learn. You just know how to run the business. But, you know, now if we had to go back and do it again, there's ways here and there that we could have actually saved some money here and there as we was building and doing our build out. So again, it was just the fact that it already had a foundation. And now that's something that we can use going forward when it comes to doing other businesses. I know Brian has a couple other things going on and things of that nature. Right. So it helps us branch off and do other things because we did it from the ground up. It wasn't like, hey, we're opening this up, hire somebody and we're, you know, poof, we're gone. And just say, hey, we own it. No, it's been days.
You guys are in it.
It's days that we've been in there at 6 o'clock in the morning. I know there was one time where, you know, I'm, hey, let's get ahead. I'm up there at 12 a.m., 1 a.m. in the morning, baking and stuff just to get ahead because we may have been short staffed. Being a National Football League, we can probably all attest to this. We've seen guys lose money and they don't know what happened to it. They have no rhyme or reason. And that was the one thing, again, like we said, we pride ourselves in being successful, the National Football League being successful, young men, black men, and we want to continue to be successful. We don't want to be one of those guys that, you know, 30 for 30 shows or whatever it is when you see people that are, we, in the words of Brian, you know, he's being real nice right now, but he said, if you got that camera, you got to sit on that stool. That ain't a good story you about to tell.
That's the truth, so, man. Again, they work too hard.
We work too hard. I mean, as young men, you get so much money so quickly. And you see a lot of people that when they're done, they don't have nothing to show for it. And that was the one thing that we want to make sure we know the ins, we know the outs. You know, we have a weekly call with our manager. You know, sometimes we just pop up, but at the same time, we knew as football players, you know, we appreciate when you get thrown a little bone here and there. So, you know, Saturdays, hey, what do y'all want for lunch? And we'll send them lunch just so they keep them motivated and things of that nature. So it's, again, we understand it's teamwork. You know, we all work together. If we are unsuccessful, we all unsuccessful. If they're unsuccessful, we unsuccessful. We just know how it all works hand in hand and all works together.
How important is for legends, anybody thinking about business, how did you guys keep your bond and it was and your bond together parlayed into fruitfulness in a business? Because sometimes guys' friends and their college classmates end up to a detriment. How were you guys able to work together?
It has to be organic, it has to be genuine. I think, and this is a shameless plug, but that's why the University of Texas is, we're special. We're a special group of men.
Tell me why you say that. I know you're saying it in jest, but tell me
what I mean by that is, I say that all the time. I've been in the league, me and Griff been in the league for a long time, and everybody is always jealous on how we at Texas are, from present, past, or the future. You know, we know the route that it takes to get to the NFL or in life in general, and we all consider each other brothers. When I say that, is that to where when you start doing, talking money and business, mm-hmm. you got to go into business with your brothers, with people that you know, people that you started from the bottom with. And if it ain't genuine, if it's all about me, it's not going to work. Myself, Griff, and Brian obviously didn't go the athletic route, but he was still one of the boys. We always been close. There's nothing that I can't tell him. There's nothing we can't joke about. We're nothing that we can't be serious about. And we just keep it 100 with each other. I think that's really makes a great relationship.
It's actually an enviable relationship, because as I listen to you and your bond, you, Michael, and other Bryant, I think about LeBron James. Mm-hmm. He seemed to have developed that bond with guys all the way from a childhood. Mm-hmm. And those bonds have parlayed into, man, all of a sudden now you got a high power agent. Into a whole collection of the different giftings.
Yeah.
Have been beneficial to the group. Can you guys speak on that?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's special.
I mean, it's a special bond, because again, you talk about Brian Henson, you know, he's been in the business world and you know, he's one of those guys that, you know, you had that entourage back when, you know, you played or whatever it may be, and you have those guys that's just hanging on to the coattail.
Right.
But again, you know, it's one of those things with Brian Henson and having that friendship, you know, to the table with his money, with his wallet open, you know.
Gotcha.
When we did this business, it was like, hey, we doing everything split right down the middle, you know, three ways. Though no one saw that Microsoft commercial, it was split three ways. Even when we did the show that's coming up on February 6th, you know, we say, hey, we're not doing this unless little Brian is in it with us. You know, we had our ups and our downs, but the one thing, you know, I know Rack told one of our employees this, y'all shouldn't lose no friendship over no cupcakes. So you know, that's the one thing at the end of the day is cupcakes, you know, and that's the one thing that with family and everything else, it's more than cupcakes. It's a family. It's a true brotherhood. It's a true friendship. It's genuine. It wasn't like, hey, meet this guy over here and meet this. It's not nothing like that. It's one of those things like, hey, can you pick me up over? It doesn't matter what time of the day, what time of the night. It doesn't matter if, you know, if I see his wife struggling with something, I'm going to stop everything I'm doing to go do that. He's going to do the same thing for my wife and my kids and everything else. It's a real genuine friendship, let alone the kids call each other uncles and things of that nature. So it's a very genuine friendship. And I think that's one of the things that makes this thing very special.
How did you guys end up connecting with the commercial Gigi's Cupcakes with Microsoft?
You know, they called us.
They reached out. They called us. They heard the story. And they heard the story just like everybody else did. And they reached out, called, blowing up our shop. Me and Griff, we don't really like answering a lot of our you know, phone calls. You get a lot of fluff. You know, everybody knows that. So we just blew it over. But our manager actually is the one that took the initiative to take it seriously. And then they we knew who it was. And you can add on if you want to go ahead.
Because they kept calling the shop and somebody like wanted to come speak to us. And I was like, you know what? I'll sit down with him. Well, another guy that Rack knew contacted him and was like, hey, Microsoft reached out We're trying to get a hold of these guys. Rack knew him, but they was trying to call the shop. Like he said, we get calls all the time. So
right.
It was crazy because I'm like, hey, I got this possible opportunity. And Rack was like, well, I got one too. Well, what you got? And it's like, it's the same person trying to reach
you. But, same person.
You'd be surprised on some of the things that come through that door and some phone calls we get. And I mean, it was, I guess you got to say it's a blessing in disguise because, I mean, we probably wouldn't even thought twice about it, but it came from so many different angles. It was like, okay. And then,
that it was legit.
And then, the hardest part was like, all right, cool. We got a timeline. I think it was like October. He was over in London. Hey, we got to film this now because we got to get this commercial for playoffs. And we're like, okay, well, Rack, when can you make it? And it was... all right, when we get here, we're just going to have to shoot it. And again, people don't even believe it's like there was no script. It was just be yourself.
Wow.
Just go with it. Be yourself. So there was absolutely no script when it came to that. Just be yourselves.
So it's interesting. In the business, it looks like you also have to be aware of opportunities.
You got to be open. Absolutely. You know, a lot of times when you I tell people this all the time, and now I've been outside that bubble. But we all know as professional athletes, college athletes, you know, even high school athletes, you're stuck in this bubble. And this bubble that you're in is this bubble that you are around people that are like you. May not look like you, maybe different coach, but we all have a common interest, which is sports, which is football. So I tell people, like, you know, it was hard. Like my neighbor, I've been living in the same house, and before I got out the lead, I never spoke to my neighbor because I was in this bubble. Like I get up, I go work out, I train, I speak to my teammates, I speak to my coaches, and I have my wife and my kids, other guys that went to University of Tech. That was my bubble. We eat lunch, we hang out at night. It was our wives, our kids, but that was the bubble I was in. But when I got out the lead 2 years before Rack, it was like, okay, you know, everybody's busy. You know, who do you talk to? And then you just sitting out there in the front yard, or you're going to your kid's school, and somebody's like, hey, how you doing? Oh, you're Maya's father. Yeah. Okay, so you've been playing. I ain't seen you. My name is X. So then you start trying to develop and meet new friendships and things of that nature. And even with that, you know, more opportunities are just coming because, you know, and that was a thing. I think a lot of people need to take advantage of that, especially when you're playing, especially when you're a high-profile athlete. You know, people are looking for opportunities. People are looking for that next big thing. And I think that was one of the things that maybe if we would open our eyes up a long time ago, you know, we always talked about it, but maybe there probably would have been more opportunities that would have presented themselves if I would have got out of that bubble and just, you know, gave people opportunities of just, you know, just speaking and just being cordial and just having conversations.
And that's what each of you guys would share with current players today, just what you're saying right now?
Most definitely.
Yeah, I definitely would, because I'm on the opposite side of the spectrum. I hate meeting people. I mean, that's just me.
Right.
I'm not the best social person when it comes to meeting people outside of my bubble, you know, but that's just come with the nature of the beast. We get bothered with so many things. I wouldn't say bothered, but it can be distracting when you're trying to be, you know, top of your craft, you know, and I kind of erase that. But as you get older and wiser, you start realizing that people have a lot to offer, or maybe just a genuine friendship, you know, overall. I love football. Griff loves football. We all love football. We've been doing it since we were young. But at the same time, you know, you can still be great at your craft, but also, you know, prepare for that afterlife like majority of people.
As we close out, I want to do a few rapid fires. And this is advice for current players are even legends. Here's the first one. We have current players and legends listening in. What would be your advice for guys in finding their next chapter? The first question is, when should they start thinking about their next chapter?
I would say
it's a good one.
That's a good one because I understand that, you know, when you go through that combine and you're playing football, you're at the top of your game. But that offseason, when you're trying to go to Cabo or Vegas or New York or whatever it is, you know, explore the opportunities, you know, take that time to start jotting down ideas. You see a lot of people that leave this game unexpectedly, not on your terms. jot down ideas, you know, because again, you never know. You just never know. I've seen people that
you never know
a freak accident, you know, break an ankle or can't play or concuss. I've seen it. And again, I advise the younger generation, you know, jot down ideas, you know. It's going to be tough, you know, with this world today. So I advise people, don't put all your eggs in one basket. I mean, I know I did, and I would say I did it, but, you know, I tell my son every day, I tell my daughters every day, you know, even though you may be, you know, my flesh and my blood, we're all different, and everybody's paths is not the same. So I would say, you know, jot down ideas. And if you do have ideas, if you're interested in something, explore them, see if you can start doing your research and start, figuring out different chapters in life. You know, be prepared. If that one door closed, no one opens, but be prepared. Be one step ahead.
The late, great Coach Paul Brown, he made a statement that he would share with guys, find your life's work. Mm-hmm. So even in being a businessman right now, was there ever any passion where you guys sensed this would, we would do some type of business? Maybe you didn't know what it was as far as possibly your life's work?
Yeah, I think it was. I think we both shared a passion for entrepreneurship, just business in general. I think we got tired, like I said, we got tired of the structured way of life. I got tired of, you know, it's just a point of time where you get older and mature, you want to be your own boss. That's just me personally. Right. And I felt like we did the homework, we did the research, and we put the same amount of effort that we would put in off season. Working gotcha. Out to being gotcha. A professional athlete, mm-hmm. we put that same amount of effort into being entrepreneurs. And that's, you know, that's one thing you can't take away from us as athletes, though. We're going to outwork you any day of the week. There's no way you can't outwork us. We have that advantage over people more than you know it. And I think we use that to our advantage to create what we wanted to do in life.
But how did you do it? Because some players, when they finish that level of hard work in the league, they like unbuttoning their belt. They don't want ever work that hard again in something else. Hence why there's probably a huge failure rate, because guys don't want to approach it with that level of diligence as we do in the game of football. How did you guys do it?
I think it was it's a motivational factor, because again, when you talk about a friendship, when you're talking about a teamwork and things that made us successful, I think the biggest thing was I wasn't going to let Rack down. You know, when we started this business, he was still playing. And you know, the one thing that we wanted to make sure for him was, listen, I've been there. I got up every morning and watched you, you know, we know what it took to be successful football players. And I know what you're going through. You're in Nashville, I'm here in Austin. There's no excuses for why I can't hold down the fort while you're gone. And I think that also goes to Brian Henson the same way, is I can't let him down the same way. He has a whole full-time job, and he's taking the time out of the day to do his part of it. So I think that's what motivated us, was I'm not going to let my teammate down. I'm not going to let my friend down. I ain't going to let cupcakes come between us. You know, and again, you know, not only do I got my money into it, but he got his money into it too. And we know that, correct. You know, money, yeah. You know, money's the root of all evil, you know.
Skin in the game, we call it, right?
Money's the root of all evil. So, you know, that was one thing, is I'm not going to let you waste your money, but I ain't trying to waste my money either. So I think that's another motivational factor.
One of the questions I had was about how do you connect with people that you can trust? That seems to be a challenge when you're a current player or even a legend. But I want to repeat back to you guys, because you've already answered the question. All three of you guys, including Brian Henson, had skin in the game. Mm-hmm. Then I also heard another wise statement, Brian, you made. You said, this investment, we didn't put all of our money into it. This was a small portion of each of you guys, whatever amount of money you have, you didn't put all of your eggs in this basket. Mm-hmm. Can you guys speak to that, why that was so important?
Well, it was learning.
Yeah.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, yeah, it was, I mean, we wanted to learn first. We wanted to learn, we wanted to kind of groom ourselves to do bigger and better things. And that's why we went the franchise route. It was, a small, low-risk, high-reward type of mentality that we initially was going to do from the start. You know, we could have definitely done a big facility that costs millions of dollars, but we have no training. We have no knowledge. We're literally just coming out the game. And that is the stupidest thing to do. You have to start off.
Say that again, Brian. Say that again, because so many, for whatever reason,
yeah,
make those huge, huge mistakes that you guys were able to avoid.
Yeah, I say it all the time. You can have the nicest facility, you can have the nicest club, restaurant, whatever the case may be. The lights, everything is great. But if you have no knowledge, if you have no whereabouts with how to run a business, no staff, you will fail every single time. So my best advice would be, Griff's best advice would be to start small. Learn it, learn the ins and outs of running a small, efficient business. And then once you master that small business, that was very, I mean, it's almost as if you got fined in the NFL game. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's start small for that amount. And then you start learning, you know, LLCs. You start learning how to run your staff. You start learning how, you know, inventory, payroll, everything that comes with running the business. I mean, it literally pays off. Because now, speaking for myself, Gigi's helped me propel me to do other and bigger things. I'm about to get ready to run an esports facility now. I got a restore coming. I'm doing a bunch of other things that I learned just from being hands-on with this small business I did with Griffin Bryant.
I think that the test of that, and the biggest thing is this, it's that investment part. You know, it's easy for somebody, you know, these friends and things that come up to, you know, the player that's working his tail off that has the money. Hey, I could do this, I could do that, I could do this, I got a great idea. But how much do they have invested in that? And I think that's the biggest thing. I think the biggest thing and the thing I think that really made this bond so much stronger is that we all got the same amount invested. You know, we all invested equally, you know, and I think that's the biggest thing. And, you know, he keeps saying small investment, I'm cheap. They know me. I ain't going nowhere when it comes. They know how cheap I am.
Yeah, it took him a while to come around. He didn't really want to write that check. They had to, it wasn't crazy though.
It wasn't even crazy. Right. They had to convince me. They convinced me about this house. They know I stay inside. I don't do all that. I'm cheap.
You want anyone that's interested in business or just want to join a group of business people, go to NFLLegendsBusinessDirectory.com to request registration, which is a resource for NFL legends that own a business. This network provides elevated visibility for business opportunities within the NFL, its members, clubs, and partners, and the broader NFL Legends community, and includes networking opportunities and guidance on how to achieve business goals. Saturday, February 6th, I want to get the information out again. Saturday is February 6th at 1 p.m. Eastern on Food Network, streaming on Discovery beginning February 6th. I can't wait to see y'all again in your pink aprons.
We got you, my man. We got you. We appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us. The best is yet to come.
This has been the NFL Legends Podcast. To provide feedback or request a topic for discussion, email us at nfllegends@nfl.com.